And the one bad thing, you pick it out. It, right? So what does that mean? It means a person who speaks Lashon Hara is a person who looks for the negative. And what happens to a person after 20 years of talking harmless Lashon Hara is you end up being a negative person. That's the self-inflicted destruction. Okay? You know, it doesn't, you said it, you did it once, that means you looked at a negative, you become the parent, the husband or wife who in bed are talking about the day and talking about the negative parts of the day. You're the parent that when your kid comes home from school on report card day and comes home with 5 A's, the first thing you say to the kid is, how come you got a B in math? That's the kind of parent you become. That's the kind of parent that when your spouse prepares a gourmet dinner, and you say, where's the salt? Right? Or you're the guest who you've put everything out on the table, Friday night dinner, right? You know, you've even got 2 kinds of chrein, you know? And they say, where's the mayonnaise? You know, that's the kind of person you become. Why? Because you see everything. You don't even look at the good that's there. You're looking for the bad. That's what you live for. And you become a very negative person. And you become a very lonely person, too. That's the destruction. That God didn't do that to you. Why am I so unhappy? Why am I taking Valiums? Why am I getting heart attacks? Because that's what you are. Okay? So that's on the practical level. But I didn't hurt anybody when I said the Lashon Hara. You didn't hurt anybody. You destroyed yourself. You became a miserable person. That's what you became for yourself. Right? That's reflective of what? Do you see how much damage we'll see you've done to all the worlds through your speech? And that's what God is going to tell you the secret. After 120 years, he says, you think you only were talking to your spouse in bed about this and that. Let me tell you how far your words went. And how much destruction you caused. Okay? And the truth is, Reb Chaim is kind of mellow compared to what other things I've read about it, and I'll spare you from that. So anyway, let's go ahead. Now, for temporarily, I'm going to skip the gloss, which is a fantastic gloss, but it's a side point where it's the only place in the book where he really gives you the definitions of the four worlds. So we're going to skip that for now. What, are you disappointed?
Yeah.
But we'll come back to it, because I want to keep the thought. It totally goes off topic. It's like totally off topic. So let me finish the topic of speech, and either we'll do it today or next week we'll start with that. Okay, so skip all the way to the next page, bottom of Mem Dalid, 2 lines from the bottom. All he's going to give you now is a bunch of Zohars to back all this up. He says, the Kamosha Kuspis Saba, that's a part of the Zohar. He says, now skip another 2 lines to the next page of the brackets where I'll have the Hebrew rendition. Bafilu hevel peh, even the wind of your mouth, makom mamad yesho, it has a place in the spiritual worlds. V'Kadosh Baruch Hu osa mimenu masha osa, he does what he does from that speech. Bafilu mila shalatim, even a word of a person. Bafilu kol, even the sound. A sound you make, analarik, isn't for nothing, isn't empty of meaning. Umakum umamad lam lakulam, everything has a particular root in the higher worlds. Skip a couple lines, another source in the Zohar. Could also be a kvetch, the Jewish kvetch.
What if a person really did something bad? I mean, it's not okay to say anything about that person.
Okay. The only time you're allowed to speak bad about someone. What are all the conditions now? There's a lot of conditions. Condition number one, it has to be for constructive purpose. Number two, it has to be that there's no other way to accomplish a constructive purpose without doing that first, and you've explored other options. Number three, you can get no personal pleasure from the fact that you're saying it. I think there's a couple more conditions I can't remember offhand. Okay? Say, yeah, you could say bad about somebody. If you saw somebody steal money, okay, so now, first, you can go over to the person and say, listen, I don't want to make a big deal, please return. What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah? So you tried that, okay. And it's not somebody you just got into a fight with. that you're going to relish the fact to tell this over. Then you could go and say, listen, you know what? I saw this guy. You call the police. And that's a constructive thing. All right? Or that's not something. So if it's a constructive thing, you're allowed to say certain things.
Somebody wasn't nice. It's just generally not nice to people.
So why do you have to say it? If somebody says,
no.
Let's say your husband, right, wants to go into another, to a new firm, and he wants to become partners with somebody. And he asks people who know these potential partners, can you tell me something about them? So if they know something that, that the partnership would be disastrous for your husband, then they're obligated to tell. They'll say, hell, you know, they've been in 7 malpractice suits before. They're having so much trouble finding, they destroyed the last 3 firms they were in. You gotta tell that. Because it serves a constructive purpose. Right? You got it, because a person's going to be worse off. But we're talking about where there's no purpose, nothing is gained. You know, the old one, the truth has to come out. You know what Sadie did to me in IGA? What she did to me? Everybody has to know how terrible she is. Right? The classic line. Really, there's no constructive purpose at all, because everybody knows Sadie's terrible. Right? Right? It goes very far. It goes very far. And people who are, you know, if there are Jewish editors of newspapers, they'll have a lot of answering to do in the newspapers when they write all these negative things that many times, and so, have no constructive purpose. Sometimes, yes. I mean, if it's a criminal, I mean, you gotta know. I mean, a lot of times it's really no constructive purpose. Right? And, but it sells newspapers, so you say it, a rumor, this, that, true or not, sells newspapers.
Yeah, the way
the way they write it, right? I mean, whatever you want to say about Clinton, you know, I'm sure the guy's done a lot of nice things in his life. I would assume. I mean, he's done some. You don't think he's helped people, too, on his, I'm sure he's helped people. I'm sure there's stories of people who were sick that he pulled strings and got them into hospital. I'm sure. I mean, it's gotta be. It's gotta be. Did they ever write that in the paper? And she looks like a nerd, huh? Yeah, so that's, or you know what they try to do to Kretschmer, they always try to get him on the wrong side and make him look worse than he is. Those kinds of things, because, so that, the height of a newspaper journalist, most times, is to find the one bad thing that everybody wants to look at. Okay, so listen, we know everybody on the Capitol there is involved in immorality. I mean, it's everybody knows. But let's really put it in the biggest, blackest thing, and we're not talking any of the nice things the guy did. That's the society we're in, so it's very hard to resist against it. Right.
Is it the same with Jews and non-Jews?
What do you mean? Is what the same?
If I go to work and everyone complains about the boss and I join in, is that as serious as if I talk about a non-Jew?
It's serious to talk about a non-Jew. Not as, but it's still not good. It's not technically, if you speak Lashon Hara against a non-Jew, it's technically not Lashon Hara. Technically,
but
it's not.
Be
technically not, but the negative effects are still there. I don't know if
but
it destroys the world. I don't know if it destroys the world. It seems there's no how look. Dead person is Lashon Hara, for sure. If you speak out about a dead person, for sure. A non-Jew, I'll have to double. Let me double check it again. I don't want to. I haven't dealt with non-Jews for a while, but I gotta. Yes, for sure doesn't help the character, but if it's technically, I have to double check. I think it's not. Doesn't mean to say one should do it. If you're used to doing it, see the real problem is like this. If when you're at work you say Lashon Hara all day long because it's about non-Jews, you're not going to be able to turn it off when you start talking about Jews. Okay, even if it's technically not Lashon Hara, it's a very bad training ground. Okay. Well, it could be Chol Hashem, all these other things, but I don't know if all these cosmic things are happening. I'm not sure. I have to check that point. Yeah? I know this is going to become a Lashon Hara class now. So what are you supposed to do if you're in their company?
And you're sort of trapped as a child in the company because you say it's family or something.
So you've got three options, says the Chofetz Chaim. The first option is, if you're brave, you say, please stop talking about it. Right? That's the first option. Second option is walk out. Leave. You know? Or it doesn't have to be in such a confrontational manner. Because I think I hear the phone ringing. Excuse me. Right? Or you just do this right in front of everybody. Or if you're in a situation where you cannot leave and you have to say, let's say it's an important meeting, a board meeting. In the middle of the board meeting, I mean, it's a business meeting. You got the guys talking Lashon Hara, right? And if you're going to go like this, they're going to think you're crazy, right? So what you do then is you, if you have to be in the presence, you make a face as if you are extremely annoyed that you have to be listening to that, because you are extremely annoyed. You know what kind of face that is.
Is it also important
to shield your eyes? No, because it's really what you're hearing. It's not what you're seeing.
So isn't it that if you just listen to it, you are almost as...
Well, the one who listens has violated too. I don't know where it would fit into the realms of the worlds here. It can't be speech. Probably would hit into thought. But those are the ways you have to get around it. It's a very serious offense. It's much more serious than what I'm even telling you, but again, it's enough. It's enough. So let's go a little bit further. Okay, the fifth line there. More of the Zohar. Kol mila umila shada motzi mipiv. Every word that a person takes comes out of his mouth. Olah lamala, goes higher and higher. Ubokas rikim, it busts through various firmaments. V'nichneses lamakam, and comes to their root place. Another Zohar, skip a line. Hamila hahi shada motzi mipiv. The word that comes out of a person. Olah bokas rikim v'omedes b'makom, it goes up to the place where it's meant to stand in Shemayim, in the heavens. Next paragraph. Shekechol hayeitz mipiv yesa lamalak, whatever comes out of your mouth does what it does above. Umaor koach elyon, it wakes up a higher power. Hein bedibur tov, if it's a good thing you say. Mosiv koach b'kochas hakadoshim, you increase the power of those worlds, as it says in Isaiah. Va'asim tvarai bepiv, I will put my words in your mouth. Meaning I'm giving you the Torah, and if you take that Torah and you work your mouth by saying Torah. Lean Toa Shemaim, the end of the verse says, you will implant and steady the heavens above. In other words, let's not always look at it in a negative way. Let's turn it around. Let's look at the positive. How much you can create with your, what you can create with your mouth. Somebody's upset. You calm them down. You say words of comfort. The words go right to the top. And they go to the place where they're meant to go, and they correct those worlds. All right? It's the same, it's always the same balance. To the negative, or to the positive. So as bad as it can be, that's how good it can be. That's a comforting thought. Okay, next paragraph, skip about four lines, more of the Zohar. Okay, l'chol mila mila, there isn't a word that has its effect. Umi shemotzi dibur kodesh mipiv, if somebody lets a holy word come out of his mouth, dibur shel Torah, word of Torah, or any other nice words, nas menukol, there's a metaphysical sound that goes up. The Ola Lamala goes very high. Umisorim Kedoshim Melech HaElyon. And it wakes up the holy energies of the holy servants of above, of the Almighty. Umisachim Barosho, and they crown him. Vaz Nimtza Simcha Lamala Lamata, there is joy above and below. Look further on in the Zohar. Ayin Berach versus Vayako. It says, No Ros, Vini Flos. Unbelievable, wondrous things are the Inyan HaDibor, are the aspects of speech, shall milin kadish and derise of the holy words of Torah. Shekol ol min nehirin med chedvasa, all the worlds become illuminated by their joy. Usmachos vigil tavon, and they bring gladness and joy, beheicholin kadish niloin, in the highest porticles of existence. Uma'atrin lehu ba'atrin kadish, and they crown him with very holy crowns. So it works the other way, definitely as well. Next page. Let's finish this chapter.
Yeah, I'm making a really good place for you.
He's giving all this is all the Zohars. The Chayim of Arbim, Makomas, Rabbis, the Kunim, it says in many places in the Kunim of the Zohar. Shemkal Dibur Vakova Hevel Daraisav, any word or breath of Torah, Oditzlos, or of prayer. Prayer's words too. Nivram Kama Malachim Kedosh, you create holy angels. Ubehepech, and the opposite, the Dibur Asher Lotov Chasman, with bad words, Ubone Rikim Vailomish Shoshav, L'samach mem, Rachmanot San, he will build firmament, he will break through firmaments in the world of falseness that belong to the obstructing angels. You're built to build. Or you're building onto the forces. Okay? Or even creating it. Creating. You're creating. You're directing new forces. Right, you are creating new force, more intensity. V'grayim chas v'shalom harisus v'chor ba'alamos. You can cause, God forbid, destruction of worlds. Shidya ha-merkava kedosha nogim l'shor shadibur. All the orders of the merkava, the holy merkava, as they apply vis-a-vis the root of speech. And he goes on, another Zohar, where he is very sharp, on the words the Halais Loch Tabubish says, Va'oilahem Labrios, woe to the people. Sharos, they see, Vaina Yodas, they don't know, Mahim Rose, what they see. Kain Lakhadibur Shain Lamakam, there's no speech, there's not a place. He quotes Ecclesiastes that says, Kiofa Shamaim Lo Yolichasakol. The bird of heaven carries the voice. So the simple meaning is the walls have ears. You think we're saying it's really like a birdie sending it all around. But the mystical interpretation is, skip two lines to the brackets, he's saying, V'kama alofim bale kenafayim. There's thousands of winged creatures, meaning angels. She'oksim, when they take your word, u'mal naso l'bale adin, they take it right up to the judgment court, v'doninoso, and they judge you. Hein l'tov, v'lehebechas v'shalom, for the good or for the bad, it says in the Zohar. More and more of all these things go to the brackets, the Kama Malachi Chabola, they're angels of destruction, Mishabri Mimoso Hakol, they attach themselves to that voice, at Sha'ol Vinisur Hamokam Shaltaim Hagadol, where ghost that wakens up the place where impurity is stored, the great place of the great void, the Kama Misur Mal Odamu, there's much instigation against the person, Oilamishamotzi Dibarami Piv, woe is the person who says anything evil. And he's hinting to some very disastrous results. The Zohar says it in other places that you can do many sins in your life. Do many sins in your life and God can wait. God will not open the court. But the one thing that forces the court to open is the sin of Lashon Hara. The sin of Lashon Hara opens court. And then when the court opens, we bring up all the old issues. Right? You could do terrible things. That's why the Talmud says what? In the days of King Ahab, King Ahab, where they were idolaters. And they were terrible. But when King Ahab led his troops into battle, they didn't lose a war. They didn't lose a war. And King David, where the people were pious, he went into war. He may have won, but he lost lots of casualties. And King Ahab didn't have any casualties. And the Talmud asks why? Talmud says, in the days of King Ahab, nobody spoke Lashon Hara. Because even when Elijah the prophet had to run away, and were 200 prophets who were on the hit list of King Ahab, they were secretly sustained for a long time for food. They were in hiding. But nobody told on them. Okay? Nobody told on them. Right? Days of King David, Lashon Hara was rampant. Somebody saw King David running away, he told on him to King Saul. Right? What do you see from this? The generation in terms of mitzvah observance, King Ahab's time was terrible. David HaMelech's time was great. Why is David's troops losing in battle, and why are Ahab's not losing? Because King Ahab's people didn't speak Lashon Hara. So therefore the sins can be piling up in heaven, but the court doesn't open yet. Just doesn't open. The power to unlock the courtroom doors is in the power of speech. And therefore, as long as they didn't speak Lashon Hara, so one day they're going to get it. One day it's going to come. I mean, it does come, but you have lots of time. God's got lots of time to see if you do tshuva, this and that, but once you talk Lashon Hara, boom, the door unlocks. And that's where the problems can begin. So that's another very negative effect of Lashon Hara. You unlock. Court is open now, and then everything gets opened up. Yeah?
I think it means that somebody could be funny. very, very awful to someone else. Basically nothing was done.
Not immediate retribution.
Not immediate, but that's acceptable in terms of physical suffering. Versus if someone was to actually have spoken about it and said, look what he did, that would have suddenly, in the physical context, opened it all up.
Right. As a group, as a people in general, In other words, you could, if the guy did something bad, you could take him to court. That's okay. That's in a productive system. But just to speak Lashon Hara, where it's no purpose in it, that's what opens it up. Well, it opens up, and that. But usually, it's not one person who speaks Lashon Hara. It's usually it's a malaise.
Would be the perpetrator of this. Wouldn't we say he didn't say Lashon Hara?
But it's usually a generation where everybody's talking. It's not one person who talks Lashon Hara. It's like either everybody's into it or nobody's into it. That's how it usually, it's not like, well, everybody on this side of the table speaks Lashon Hara, everybody on this side doesn't. No, I mean, if lots of people talk about it, everybody's talking about it. And if nobody's talking about it, then nobody's talking about it. That, nowadays, everybody talks Lashon Hara. That's why we suffer so much. That's why, you know, a lot of terrible things happen because God says, I'm not going to wait. I'm going to open up court right now. That's the problem. All right, let's just finish up. Uksiv, and it says in Ecclesiastes, Lama Yitzayf Elohim Al Kalecha, why should God get angry at your voice? V'chibel es masi yadech and sabotage your actions. It says in the Talmud, Gadol ha'aymer b'piv, worse is what you say, min ha'oisa maisa, from your actions. Sometimes what you say is worse than your actions. The examples the Talmud give is very interesting. One I'm not going to say because it's going to totally boggle your mind, but the other one I will say. It says the Jews did 10 sins in the desert during the 40 years that they were, they did their share to infuriate the Almighty, right? Mm-hmm. However, when did the decree come that they could not enter the land? After what sin? Sin of the spies. Now, in theory, what was worse? Bowing down to a golden calf or the sin of the spies? From your, if I would ask you, rate them in terms of worse. What's worse? 40 days after getting the Torah, bowing down to a golden calf? Or coming back from the land and say, you know what, these giants are pretty strong, we're not going to be able to destroy the land. But what's worse? You think the calf is worse. Yeah. But from the calf, God said, okay, I'll forgive you. I was upset, but I'll forgive you. But after they spoke the Lashon Hara about the land of Israel, they spoke negatively about the land of Israel, God says, you ain't going. Right? So the sin of the golden calf was one more of action. They're bowing down to a deity. Okay, that's pretty bad. The other hand, I said something bad about the land. And not even a person, it's the land. Right? But that's what locked it, that they couldn't get into the land anymore. Okay? But Amar Zalman, the rabbi says, Kol ha-machlev v'diburo, if somebody lies, misrepresents, promises to do something and then doesn't keep their promise, ki'ilu, it is as if they were oved avodas kachavim, they worshipped idolatry. Now, the connection seems to be tenuous. What's the connection? But the answer is, anyone who changes his word, doesn't keep his word, whatever, basically is deviating from truth. You said one thing, and now you're doing something else. Right? It means you are not, you're falsifying truth. Now we know, the seal of God is when you boil it down, what is God more than anything? He's the absolute existence. He's the ultimate truth. God is the ultimate reality. A person who lies is a person who distorts reality. That's what it is. Distorting reality. So if you can distort this reality, you can distort the reality of God. It's not that far of a stretch. Right? Truth isn't important. If truth is important, reality is important, then God isn't important. It's key. It's not like you did, but it's like it. Because the sources, the roots are into. That can lead to that same root to lie is the root that can get you to worship idolatry. Idolatry is basically saying what? You don't believe that God's the ultimate reality. So as long as you can distort reality, so where will it end? It will end when you distort that biggest reality. That's why it's interesting. The Sefer HaIkrim relates a story about a person who was a real terrible guy. He did a lot of averas. He was a thief, a criminal, and all these things. Hated them all. He had a ton of sins. He comes to a chacham, and he asks the chacham, tell me, Rabbi, how can I do tshuva? Now, Rabbi, I can't change overnight. I can't do the 600 dimensions. I ain't going to do it. But Rabbi, tell me, I'll take upon myself one thing. One thing I'll do. So what did the rabbi tell him to do? What do you think? Shabbos, kosher. He says, accept upon yourself one thing and guard it properly. Accept upon yourself to say the truth. So he accepted it. That's what happens. The story goes on. So the next day, he goes out to rob a house. Well, he didn't accept to not rob houses. So he's looking around, he's casing the joint, right? Two people meet the guy and say, what are you doing here? I'm leaving. He leaves. I mean, he can't. I'm going to steal the guy's house, right? So he figures, you know what? It's better for me not to steal. So that's the point. If you can accept not to lie, the truth is a lot of other things are going to fall into place.
Liar.
Oh, there is?
Liar. Yeah, with this guy, for 24 hours, his son wishes upon him that he only ever says the truth.
I think there was a Bill Cosby sitcom on that too. For 24 hours, he has to tell the truth.
He has to tell the truth. Whatever he says, it's always going to be the truth.
He's always promising this time he'll be there. He never shows up. Unfortunately,
the boy has a birthday, and he wishes that his daddy would just for one day tell the truth.
Nice. So that's the idea. If a person has to say the truth, he's bound to improve. Right, that's, you have to be really careful, you know, if talking, you're saying about kids, if your kid says, Mommy, when are you going to play with me? And you say, later. And if you don't, you lied. Right? You know, what does they say to start with the Chavetz Chaim, right? He wanted his daughter to, when Chavetz Chaim printed any of his works, right? So the printing wasn't like it was now, 67 years ago. He had to go through page by page. You know, to make sure that the papers weren't connected, and, you know. So he asked his daughter, you know, his daughter was young, he says, well, do me a favor, I don't remember the numbers. He says, you know, I got a couple sets of my Sefer that has, every set was 6 books. He says, can you do me a favor and check 2-3 sets of my book, because I have to ship them off. He says, Daddy, I'm so busy now, come on please, you know, Daddy, let me play now, I'll come back later, you can give me 23 sets and I'll do it. You know? So he says, okay, go. She comes back a couple hours later, seeing how Taylor's 23 sets of the Mishnah Berurah. Says, Daddy, what are you doing? He says, you told me if I let you go for an hour, you'll do 23 sets. You have to learn to keep your word. Okay, Chavetz Chaim, so the Chavetz Chaim had to do it. He had to do it. He knows she didn't keep her word. The words are going up there. Even for that, that's how far reaching it is. So you have to really work on our children as well to not lie, because that becomes a natural reaction to learn how to lie. Right? So that's very careful. Final paragraph. The Zeshe Kasav, now we come back to the verse in Amos. Come back to where we started. Umagid la'odam ma'secho. Magid. Hashem will reveal the secret of what your words were all about. What's the labor meaning to say? When a person has to give his final calculations and judgment for the Almighty, what's going to happen? Surprise. Then God will reveal to him the secret. Raza de Milsa, the secret of the word. What his speech caused in the higher worlds. Now you'll see the destruction that you caused. commotion is bor leil, as we've explained, shaloshin Haggadah, the explanation of Haggadah, perish means raza, the milsa, the secret of that action. So that's why you're learning this book, so you won't be surprised. But as I say over and over, and I said on the first class, and I got to keep saying it over, the whole purpose of learning this is that it's ultimately there not to just to know the cute information, but it should be some kind of catalyst to have some kind of behavioral changes in our lives. Right? If you know how important it is, well, shouldn't that be a catalyst to make, you know, we're not saying to stop speaking Lashon Hara. But, you know, you just work on for 5 minutes a day, you won't speak Lashon Hara. You know, pick the first five minutes you see your spouse after, or your best friend that you see every day. First 5 minutes is usually the high-intensity Lashon Hara time. So make up, you know, okay, I'm gonna talk Lashon Hara the rest of the day, but the first 5 minutes that I meet my spouse, or I meet my best friend, or I meet my worker, whatever it is, where you start unloading on automatic pilot, you're unloading. So I'm gonna put the timer on the watch, 5 minutes. For 5 minutes, I won't say it. Just do that. If you do that, then it was worthwhile. Now the truth of the matter is, this secret, really, of the far-reaching effects applies to action as well. Right? But we see that the rabbis overstate the case by speech much more because it is more far-reaching than action. We will see as we go to the levels of soul, action is a more lower element of the being. So its reach in the world is not as far. Speech is a more sophisticated part of the person. So the reach, it's more spiritual part of the person. So the reach is further. And the Jerusalem Talmud tells us of all the Averis, Lashon Hara is tantamount and equal to all of them. Okay? So that's a critical point. So now we've done two legs. How far reaching action is? How far reach action is speech? Next week we go to thought. And then he gets into showing how these three levels correspond to the three levels of soul, and that then gets us into the levels of soul for the next week. So that's the direction that we're heading to soul, and then we'll get to tshuva. Okay.